Teaching today, thanksgiving is vital for the overcomer. Thanksgiving is vital for the overcomer. And we'll open up with a few scriptures first, just to remind ourselves of why this is so important. And firstly, we're going to look at Psalm 92 and verses 1 to 2. Psalm 92 verses 1 to 2, of which it says, "It's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." And it goes on about declaring your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. And it opens up with a whole catalogue of why we are to be thankful and to give thanks to God. And coupling it with that, let's look also to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Again, it opens up, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And so it goes on. So from cover to cover in the Word of God, we are encouraged to give thanks. And there is actually a good reason why we're to be thankful. And I'm going to open this up this morning, and I trust that you will be blessed by this, to have this heart and spirit about you, to always declare your thanks, your praise to God. Because this is very powerful to a dying world outside. Sadly, there are too many Christians who are depressed and oppressed and reveal anything but a thankful heart and a heart full of joy before the Lord. But all of this is about, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. And over again, it exhorts us to be mindful of these things. For example, we see in verses 8 to 9, back again in Psalm 92, of which it says here, "But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered." So we start to get understanding that being thankful and praising God is very powerful against the enemy and against the powers of darkness that are all the while trying to war against us and trying to get us to retract and to compromise. So there we need to remember that and keep that in mind. Then when we look also at the same psalm, Psalm verses 14 and 15, and it says here, they shall still bear fruit in old age, they shall be fresh and flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So we find that we're able to praise and worship God because we have the understanding and revelation that there is no unrighteousness in him. And it's that confidence that we have in Almighty God, that whatever we go through, whatever our trials and tests, God is faithful and that he will bring us through. And all of this is working this thankful heart within us that is absolutely paramount. Now, thanksgiving is important because it separates us from the world and how the world speaks and what the world confesses and believes. So that is one of the first things that it's so vital that we have this in our lives, that we are thankful, that we praise God, that we are grateful each day for what he's doing in our lives, because it separates us from the world and how the world speaks. And this is absolutely paramount, what comes out of the Christian mouth. Sadly, we hear so much of the negative, what comes out of Christians. We sadly hear so much of what God isn't doing or can't do. And as we know, whatever's in your heart, you will eventually confess. That is what happens to us. So our confession, as we know so well in this room, tells us very much where we are, where we're standing with God. For example, let's look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. Of which it says here, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So that is completely opposite, because there is catalogued how the world speak. That is what comes out of their mouths. And that is not what is to come out of our mouths. He says quite clearly, doesn't he, that this filthiness that comes out of their mouths, foolish talking, just foolishness. How many times have we heard people, when they say things, it's like you want to say you haven't a clue what you're saying. Are you really listening to what is coming out of your mouth? That's what it means to be foolish. Coarse, just jesting, taking the mickey, degrading people. Coarse, vulgar things that come out of people's mouths. And he says none of these things are fitting. It's not what we're to be drawn into, but rather giving of thanks. So what deals with all of this type of speech and talk? It's where we, the Christians, who are grateful and we give thanks to the Lord. So that's one of the first things that we can look at. Another area that we can look at, we're told in Scripture that being thankful, giving thanks to God, brings about a peace. Let's look in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3 and verses 15 to 17 of Colossians 3. And he says quite clearly here, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Listen to that. That is the basis of our fellowship. That's what works in fellowship. That's what brings about harmony and unity and oneness, that we are at peace with God and each other. Let it rule in our hearts, which we're called to in what? The body of Christ. And be thankful in whatever situation we find ourselves in, because it's always going to work out for the best in the end. That is our faith. That is our endurance. And he goes on that this can be achieved by letting the word of God, the word of Christ, dwell in us richly. With that dwelling, let wisdom be there. And also with the teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, which we are to do. That is what you are to do. It's not left to the pastor or left to one or two. It's what you are to do. You're to come with a spiritual song or a hymn or verses or your prayers to contribute towards the oneness and unity of the body. It creates a thankful heart. Maybe some hearts are not thankful in this body because people are not coming prepared to give, to offer. And we wonder why we battle with depression. Or we wonder why, oh, I don't want to come to church anymore, I'm not bothered with it. These are the reasons. It's not rocket science, brothers and sisters. This is why God is trying to simplify our faith, so that we can be free, released, to be able to exhort and encourage the body of Christ. This is why when you come to a meeting, you come prayed, prepared to minister, not to sit back and have the word ministered to you week after week after week, which I'm afraid we've fallen into. There could come meetings where God would just say to me, you're not to preach for today. I wonder how we would cope with that. Would we would go away? Well, we didn't have a very good meeting today. The pastor decided not to do anything. It starts with you. It starts with me. It's not looking to somebody else. It's those rivers of living water welling up through you and me, reaching out. This encourages a thankful heart. This encourages each one of us to see, oh, God is working through my brother. He's speaking through my sister. This is what it should be about when we come together. So there we are. It brings about that peace, that unity in the body of Christ. And thirdly, we're told that thanksgiving and praising and thanking God is actually better than sacrifice. Let's turn to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. And verse 30. Psalm 69. And we'll look at verses 30 and 31. 30 and 31 of Psalm 69. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox, bull, which is has horns and hooves. And the humble shall see this and be glad. And you who seek God, your heart shall live. So it's the humble that sees this. The proud don't see it. Proud people are not thankful before God. But the humble are thankful. The humble will worship and praise God. And we're told that that is better than sacrifice, because that is what sacrificed on the altar under the old covenant. How about Luke 24? There's quite a few scriptures here to speak on this. Luke 24, verses 52 to 53 of Luke 24, verses 52 to 53. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Because they've been with Jesus. And when you're with Jesus, that is what it does to you. When you walk with him daily in covenant and fellowship, this is what it does to you. It brings out worship. It brings out praise. It brings out a thankful heart. And that is how the world knows that you are Christian. If your heart is still lusting after the things of the world, they won't see any difference. How about Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, 47 of Acts chapter 2, verses 46 to 47. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplification of heart, or simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. How is it that God was adding to the church? Because they were continually in the temple, in one accord, sharing, breaking bread, gladness of heart, sharing, praising God, having favor with all the people. They weren't a holy huddle, contemplating, looking at their navels all the time. Anything but what you read there. And yet we fall victim to this, don't we? Now I know that we don't meet daily as they were under those conditions, but nevertheless we glean the principles from this. And how do we change? How do we see breakthroughs? When we start saying, Lord, do it through me. Change me. I'm not looking to anybody else. That was their experience. Let it be my experience, so that I give you all the praise, all the thanks, all the glory. It goes back to you. That's what it's about, brothers and sisters. We can't bring those expensive offerings to the Lord, but we can bring our heart and praise and thanksgiving, and that's why that's better before the Lord's eyes than the sacrifices of our labors or animals or what we can give to God. We tend to think that we're sacrificing and giving to God by our works, by my sacrifice, by how much I pray and how much I read the Word. It isn't. It's simply yielded vessels, surrendered up to God, Romans 12, 1 and 2, bringing our offerings to God, a grateful heart, a heart of thanksgiving. That is what God accepts. That is what he wants. And some of us have lost our first love in that, because we're looking to ourselves. Poor me, my circumstances, look what I'm going through. We're all going through things. If you think you're going through something bad, it doesn't take long to look at your brother and sister and see that they're going through far worse than you. And it levels everything. There's nothing worse than looking at yourself that will make you ungrateful, unthankful, and unholy. And it starts to open that door to depression, griping, moaning, and so on. And then you wonder why you're rejected and on your own, because people don't want to be around with people like that. The Bible is taken up with much on praise and thanks. Now, fourthly, looking at this, giving thanks is a result of being filled with the knowledge of God. My, that's a good one, isn't it? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 18 to 20. Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 20. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear and love of God, and so on. There we are. This giving thanks that is spoken here is a sign you're filled with the knowledge of God. And they, oh, we've got so many Christians who like to let us know that they know the Word of God from cover to cover, but the question is, are they filled with thanksgiving? Are they filled with a grateful heart? Because that tells us they have a knowledge of God and a knowledge of His Word. You see, God knows how to expose all of this, because thankful heart is so powerful. A thankful heart, a grateful heart, opens us up spiritually to be able to hear God, for God to be able to touch us and heal us and change us. Many Christians don't get touched from God because they don't come prepared into His presence to receive. This is why it is so important, before we receive the Word of God, that we come in praise and worship, because that opens us up spiritually to acknowledge Him. It makes us right in His presence as we praise Him and worship Him, and as we lift that only name, the name of Jesus, high, and that we express our thanks and our gratitude and so forth. That enables us to be then touched and changed by the presence of God, not by the presence of some minister or church, which sadly a lot is today, but the Holy Spirit touching you. This is why the anointing is so vital in our presence, so that we can become these changed people for God's glory. And He shows us how we can be touched and changed, by our acknowledging Him, by having that thankful heart, whatever we're going through, whatever the trials, or whatever it will be. So there we are. That is something there to consider. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abundantly through many thanksgivings to God. So it is abounding through the thanksgiving to God, the supplies and the needs that were being met there in that time. The reason that those needs were being met, and they were going through great trials, famines, yes, persecutions and so on, the reason that they had those supplies, that food came, food was still brought to them on a plate, was because they had a thankful heart. If man had a thankful heart and praise and worship God, we will not see the famines that we have around the world today. And that is a fact. That is scriptural. If Christians had a thankful heart and praised God and acknowledged Him, we would not have so many of the problems that we have in the house of God today. so many believers in so much debt financially and so on. A lot of this happens because there's not that thankfulness in the heart. There's not that acknowledging God. There's not that devotion to praising and worshiping Him. That is part of our sacrifice. That is why the scriptures tell us that we're to offer up the sacrifices of praise and worship. Very few Christians do that, because they come into church being entertained by a band leader, by ministry, and so on. They don't participate themselves, bringing a hymn, a psalm, a prayer, or whatever it is. It's all controlled from the front. And it robs the body of being able to express that true thanks and praise and worship before God. The enemy is so subtle. This is why we make much about body ministry. The church exists because of you, not because of ministers. And yet that still can go on in our mind and thinking. We still can rely on certain people. They'll come up with the goods each time we meet. And we wonder why our lives are not breaking through. We wonder why we do not see these things happening. It's quite easy. But you see, sadly, pride won't acknowledge that. Pride likes to make excuses. Well, God has left us, or we don't see revivals now, or I'm not seeing anything around happening, or, and so on. That's what pride will do. But the humble will say, well, I'm not worried about anyone else, Lord. I'm worried about my stand with you. And if you want to do it through me, I'm open, I'm ready. Here I am. That was Isaiah's heart before God for his calling. That's why God used him. And they're the hearts that God is looking for in these last days, brothers and sisters. Not griping and moaning and so on, but it's rising above all of that. And fifthly, Romans chapter 1. This is an eye-opener, if you like. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 to 21. Romans chapter 1 verses 18 to 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are not made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, or know God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they become fools. My goodness me, that is the world's problem today. That is the problem in this country, and why we're so pagan. There's no longer an acknowledging that God has created all. They want to believe in Darwinism and so on instead. And you can read the rest, what is catalogued there. As a result, that's what opens the door to all these things that we see today. And it's what opens the door in your life to depression, oppression, all those things that bring us down, because we don't have those thankful hearts that are praising and worshiping God. That's clearly what it does. That's what the world is held by. How about Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, of which it says, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." He's everything. He is all. And yet man doesn't acknowledge it. Man doesn't want to give thanks for the very fact that God has given us life, given us breath. I am here today because of God's creation. He chose to create me for His glory. Or we forget some of those simple, basic truths of why we're here, and yet they're so valid. You see, the failure to return thanks is one of the principal reasons for the revelation of the wrath of God and for giving men up to a reprobate mind. The wrath of God, the great tribulation, will eventually bring man to remind him of horrendous things that will happen on the earth that he has forgotten to give God all the praise, the thanks and acknowledgement. Look what the world, look what man has to go through because he's deliberately chosen to give this up. The children of Israel never made it into the promised land because they were ungrateful and unthankful. And it came out of their mouths. And ungratefulness, unthankfulness, what does it result in? It will always result in complaining and the negative. And it is always based on our confession. You'll know where a Christian stands by their confession and what comes out of their mouth. And it's the same principle for the children of Israel that they perished, griping and moaning. It's the same principle that is today and still attacks the Christian church. And it will keep us out of the kingdom of God. This is why being thankful and having a thankful heart and praising and acknowledging God is so vital for your Christian walk. If I can put it in a crude way, it's what keeps you healthy before God. It's what keeps that spiritual bloom about you. It's what tells the world out there that you are different, that you walk with Jesus, because you have a heart that is thankful, that is grateful, praising and worshiping God because He first loved me. We've still got this idea that God was doing me a favor by saving me, or doing Himself a favor. That it was His duty to save me and to have a relationship with me. After all, I am made in His image. Now, we don't say it like that, but that can be the attitude. No. God doesn't have to do anything. He is completely sovereign. He didn't have to send Jesus. He didn't have to do anything, but He chose to. And therefore, that should in return make us absolutely grateful and thankful. Yes, even in our trials. Yes, even when I just feel nothing within me to praise and thank and worship Him. Let it become a way of life. Let it become your heart. Let it become the desire that you want each day when you wake up to thank and praise and worship Him. And you will find yourself thanking Him for the most smallest things that can take place in your everyday life. Little things. Those things where He reminds us because we've forgotten something. The other day, I was just about to close the front door and the Lord reminded me, "You haven't got your keys." That meant so much to me because, you know, none of us want to get locked out. And I went back and I just said, "Thank you, Father. I do praise you for that. That's so small in comparison to you, yet it's important to me because nobody wants to be locked out." And what does that do? That causes one to acknowledge and praise and thank Him. Yes, even if I did forget the keys, The fact is, God has reminded me. You see, it's when it doesn't happen, the enemy becomes vocal. See, God doesn't love you. When you feel you're left out and others are being blessed, see, God doesn't love you. Yet, sometimes God allows us to go through seasons of trial. And all of it is fundamentally to make us thankful and to praise God. I am convinced our faith is quickened by a thankful heart. A thankful heart has a faith that can move mountains. When we have a thankful heart, then praise, worship just takes off when believers come together, because they know why they're there. I come to church to fellowship with my brothers and sisters because I know that I've been called by the mercy of God to do that. And therefore that creates within me a thankful heart. And that's why I like to praise and worship and express that before God. It is so sad that one can come to meetings and you almost can feel that believers are looking at their watch and think, oh, we've got another hour of this. What is the point of coming to church if that is our thinking and our attitude? Or when will this be over and then we can start to get something to eat? That's not what we come for. When we come into the presence of God, time should just stand still. We forget about time. We forget about those things around us. We forget our trials and tribulations because we're so caught up in the presence of God, because our hearts are truly thankful. That is the sacrifice that he accepts from us. Because he knows that the enemy is always trying to attack that. The enemy will try and attack within us of being thankful to God, praising and worshiping him, because he hates that. We know that the powers of darkness hate believers worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Are you going to continue to let the enemy, the powers of darkness, rob you of your blessings that you can have with believers in the presence of Almighty God? That is entirely up to you. Nobody forces anyone, but we encourage you that this is the way churches are built. This is where unity of the Spirit and oneness in believers start to come, when we have this thankful and grateful heart. No matter how menial, no matter how small or how great, whatever it is, it all comes from Almighty God. My life exists because of Almighty God. My being in this room today, listening to this word, is because of Almighty God. So what spirit are we going to manifest? That is the question. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, again, you have spoken it. You have revealed to us how we can walk in blessing before you. Father, forgive us, because many of the things that we fall short of are really our own doing. We're losing sight of you. We're no longer grateful, thankful. We're finding ourselves moaning. We're finding our confession, what we're saying, is more in line with the world than with the word of God. Father, forgive us, for all of us have fallen short of this. All of us at times have listened to the enemy instead of listening to you and to your word. We've all of us at times have not been thankful and grateful. Or why me? Or why is it I've been left out? Or why is it my sister seems to prosper and I don't? How vocal the enemy can get. But Father, you have shown today that being grateful and thankful and praising you raises us above all those things. And it opens the doors of heaven. It brings out those rivers of living water within us so that we can be a blessing to the body of Christ. We can be a blessing to our brother and our sister. It makes us sensitive to their needs. And sometimes in the most smallest way. Lord, we want to come prepared in your presence. We each of us want to come to be used, whether it means bringing a psalm, a song, a hymn, a word, an exhortation, a testimony, whatever. It's all part of glorifying and praising your name. Father, if that is not within us, please put it there. Because we want to glorify your name. We want to return it all back to you in our thanks and our gratitude. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah.
And Jesus is